You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
And welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz. It's 7/21/21. Well, markets got slaughtered a couple of days ago, and now it's like it never even happened. We must be living in the best of all possible worlds. And let's find out what Jim Welsh has to say about that. In the meantime, send me your emails. Tell me what you think. When is the market going to collapse? I'd like to know what your thoughts are. KL@KerryLutz.com. Jim, welcome back on the show. And everybody had like a near-death experience on Monday. And here we are a couple of days later, and it's like it never even happened.
Well, you're right, that assessment, Kerry, and good to be talking with you again. As I've noted over the last couple months, many of the cyclical sectors peaked in early May. And as bond yields kept declining, people inferred that that meant the economy might be at risk. And you're right, it kind of hit a fever pitch on Monday, where people were extremely worried about the Delta variant. And the net result is bond yields spiked lower and then began to reverse. And that acted as kind of a signal that it was time to buy cyclical stocks, which is what I discussed in the Monday weekly technical review. And if any listeners would like to get a copy of that, I'm happy to share it. Just send me an email to Jim Welsh, W-E-L-S-H, @gmail.com. And so my belief has been is as yields would come down, the mega cap stocks would benefit, which is exactly what pulled the S&P up to new highs over the last bunch of weeks, even as those cyclical stocks were falling. And I think, if I'm right, I think treasury yields are going to continue to work their way higher in the next 3 to 6 months, Kerry, and eventually over and exceed the highs that took place in March. And if I'm right about that, I think that's going to be a real headwind for the mega cap stocks. And so I'm not sure this correction, even though we've had this great snapback rally, a lot of it was due just because many cyclical sectors were down 8 to 12%, pretty oversold, and they're getting a very strong bounce both yesterday and today.
How high will the Fed allow rates to go, Jim?
There is some level, and I think it's going to be dictated to some extent in terms of how the economy is doing and their outlook for the economy. In other words, if it continues to be really strong, and no question, 9% GDP in the second quarter is going to slow to 3% probably by early next year. But I do believe, and I think your question implies this, that there is some level that the Fed will start talking about yield curve control, where they start saying, hey, we don't want, the bond yields to spike up too much, and we'll really, begin to be buyers of the 10-year and 30-year bond at some price level. My guess is the 10-year would have to probably get close to 2.5% before they would do that. But again, you kind of have to see as we go. The other issue is if 10-year yields, I think, are going to go back to the 1.9% level by late this year. If it starts to climb much above 2% and the equity market starts to really suffer as a cause of that, I think, that would prompt the Fed to maybe move a little bit earlier. So there's two things you got to watch: is how good is the economy, how high yields climb, and then their impact on equity prices. That will dictate, I think, what the Fed and how quickly the Fed will respond.
Well, right now, the only party buying treasuries is the Fed. So what rate does it have to go up to actually get private investors in there? Right now, depending on the inflation rate that you pick, negative real rates, meaning how much you really return on your money, are down like over 3.5%, which historically has been great for gold and bad for treasuries.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that's happened in the last few months and again, back in early April, I was talking about, I think bond yields have topped for now. We're going to see them trend lower. And one of the reasons was that the Treasury had a huge balance at the Fed, like $1.6 trillion at some point at the beginning of this year. And then over the last few months, as the Treasury's been handing out money to through various programs, that balance has dropped to about $500 billion. It will drop more in the next few months. But the point being is the Treasury has so much money carry, they didn't have to increase or maintain a high level of Treasury issuance. So yeah, the Fed's purchases were absorbing a really, really high percentage of what the Treasury was selling. That dynamic is going to change between now and the end of the year, where the Treasury is going to have to increase the size of their auctions. And so the percentage of that the Fed is taking down will drop as a result. That's another reason why I think Treasury yields are likely to head higher between now and the end of the year. So I think a lot of things are going to come together, obviously inflation being a key factor as well.
All right. So what about inflation here? You really think it's just transitory?
Nope, not at all. At the same time, on my Monday weekly technical review, the first line is, I think inflation peaked in June. And all that is based on is the euro over year calculations, the base effect, and some of the extreme moves and things like new and used car prices, which have gone up astronomically. And so I think the hook that's going to maybe get people here in the next month or two is, I think headline inflation is going to drop from 5.4 to under 4% over the next 4 or 5 months. Core inflation was 4.5. It'll probably drop closer to 3.5. But the boogeyman is going to be the shelter component within the CPI. Shelter comprises up to 35 to 40% of the core CPI. And what we're going to see, Terry, is rents have increased already significantly. There's a lag time between the rise in home prices, which have gone up about 14 to 15% throughout the country over the last year. And that starts to bleed into rents, which then are the component that the Fed uses, owner's equivalent rent, to calculate housing and shelter inflation. So what we're going to see is, as we get past August, last year, the core CPI was up on average 0.1% from September through January of this year. So the hurdle rate in terms of the monthly increases we're likely to see beyond August is going to be really low. So my guess here, Kerry, we're going to see headline inflation come down. Core inflation will probably come down some in the next couple months as some of the other crazy factors get unwound. But the core inflation rate, I think, is going to continue to hold closer to 3.5% through the balance of this year. Well, that's way above the 2% Fed target. And I think as that becomes obvious to other people who don't look at things as, in great detail, I think that's another reason why Treasury yields are likely to work their way higher. And I think the markets at some point in time will get to the place where they start to doubt that, Powell is going to be right about transitory. I mean, already in his last public statements, it was last week in testimony to Congress, was, well, yeah, it's much, much higher than 2%. But we'll see where it is in 6 months. Well, 2 months ago, he wasn't talking about 6 months from now, So I think this is evolving. And I think that is potentially the big hurdle for both the Fed, the Treasury market, and then ultimately, obviously, the equity market.
Very interesting here. Well, I do find it all kind of fascinating because, look, we're told one thing and then they know it's totally different than that. They know that it's not true. And yet they persist, right?
Don't just survive, thrive. The Financial Survival Network.
Lumina Gold, ticker symbol LUM on the Toronto Venture and LMGDF on the OTC, is yet another of legendary mining investor Ross Beaty's Lumina Group. It's advancing the largest primary gold deposit in Ecuador. The resource is estimated to contain 16.7 million ounces of gold and 2.2 billion pounds of copper at just $7 US per ounce gold equivalent, it trades at an incredible 13% of its net present value. More good news is on the way with an updated PEA study expected in Q2 of 2020. It has unparalleled infrastructure. There's grid power to camp with plentiful, inexpensive hydropower available. It's close to two ports and is just 8 kilometers from a paved highway. Water is plentiful. It's at low elevation, and the closest community, which is very supportive of Lumina's effort, is just a 7-kilometer ride. With all this going for it, it's likely to follow the typical Ross Beaty formula, which means big returns to shareholders. Find out more and sign up for notifications at luminagold.com. That's Lumina, L-U-M-I-N-A, gold.com.
This is the Financial Survival Network, the information you need to thrive now more than ever.
Yeah. Well, again, the Fed, unfortunately, has veered off track, in my opinion, over the last couple decades in terms of pushing real rates into negative territory, going after the 2% inflation target. I mean, in the 1950s and early 60s, inflation was 1%. And those are some of the best economic times we've ever seen. Now, there were other factors, but to say that, oh, my God, inflation below 2%, bad things could happen, that is just baloney. As I like to say, is if you look at 2% in 72 years, price levels will quadruple with a 2% inflation rate. So it looks pretty benign in the short run, but in somebody's lifespan, they're going to see prices quadruple. Only a central banker could claim victory and say, yeah, we're really achieving our goal of stable prices. It's ludicrous. So I agree with your criticism of the Fed, but they've gone down this path and there's no turning back. The other thing I will point out, and this is really kind of important, people like to talk about M2 money supply has grown by 25% and so forth. But what's happened is as the Fed has injected liquidity, banking reserves have gone up almost $2 trillion over the last 15 months. They represent 43% of the increase in M2 money supply. So the point being is the Fed is doing all this pushing of money into the banking system, but the money isn't finding its way into the economy via loans. Loan growth is virtually zero.
Negative, actually, in the past 13 years. You saw the charts, I'm sure.
Yep, I did. So to me, this is really significant because I don't think a lot of people fully grasp the implication here is that monetary policy is being neutered based on what's happening. They used to use interest rates as the primary tool. Obviously, that lost its effectiveness because now they've got to go with negative real yields. And then QE was the tool that became most popular after the financial crisis. And now that too isn't really lifting GDP the way one would on the surface believe. At the same time, we've got much, much more debt that is a burden, irrespective of the fact that rates are unbelievably low relative to that debt. So, longer term, I'm in the deflation camp. That is going to be the biggest risk based on demographics, the percentage of people entering the labor force and so forth. The correlation between inflation and demographics is extremely tight. And of course, that means it's pretty tight with the level of interest rates. So I think that's the biggest longer term problem, Kerry, is in the short term, is inflation going to be resistant and stronger and higher than what the Fed is suggesting? Yes. The longer term, I think deflation is going to be the ultimate kneecapper for the U.S. economy. It may take 3 to 5 years, but I do believe that that is the likely scenario. So,
What they say, Jim, that the best things in life are transitory.
And that is, well, thank God, some of the bad things too. The one comment I'd like to make about the dollar, Curry, over the last 2-3 months, I was looking for an important low in the dollar index. And I thought, when it got to near 89, that it was pretty much there. The way it has traded since hitting 89 in early, I think it was late May, early June, reaffirms that belief. Very, very short term. Last week, the dollar made a new high off that low, and the RSI diverged. I think the dollar is going to pull back over the next few weeks to 9150, maybe closer to 9100. And that's going to create a window, I think, for gold and the metal stocks to rally pretty strongly. The key is whether or not we can get gold above 1920. It's possible that this is just going to be a rally that hits a lower peak than what we saw last August. And, that I think has implications as we go further out between now and year end and early next year for gold. So I think the next rally is coming, and it's going to be key that it really starts to show more strength. I've been personally disappointed that gold has not reacted better in the face of this much higher inflation numbers. Now, people want to believe the Fed and Powell is going to be right, because that means policy won't change anytime soon. And there's career risk on Wall Street. If you go along with the Fed, we think inflation is going to be transitory. And if it does prove not to be transitory and you're wrong, well, who's going to lose their job for agreeing with the Fed chair? But if you go against the grain and say, no, I think inflation is going to be, worse and hold up longer, and if it is transitory, you may be out of a job. So, I think, that's influencing a lot of markets in terms of how bonds have reacted. People want to believe what Powell is saying. And I just think it's just a question of time before the data shows that the core inflation is going to be holding up much higher than their 2% target. So I think the next month or so are critical in terms of what kind of strength we see in gold and the gold stocks. And if they hit a lower high, then I think the next correction will take us down to lower lows. So, I'm long gold, I'm long silver, I'm long gold stocks. August into September has historically been a fairly, supportive and positive seasonal period. So we'll see what it can muster this year.
All right. Well, that's all interesting. We really appreciate you coming on, sharing your opinion with us, Jim. And the best place to find you is macrotides.com. If you got a question for Jim, send us an email to kl@carrylutz.com. We'll make sure it gets answered. And sign up for a free newsletter at financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Jim, great talking to you. We'll talk to you in a month.
Likewise, Kerry. Take care and stay well.
Thanks for listening to Kerry Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.